The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis. And
really quick, I want to ask you, are you looking to take your business to the next level? If so, I've got just the book for you. I recently picked up this book, How to Be a Success Champion, Business Strategies for Badasses by the one and only Donnie Bovin. This book has been a game changer for me. It showed me that as a new business owner, I still had an employee mindset and that can potentially run my business straight to the ground. Donnie's book will show you as a business owner how to become the champion of your business and the champion of your own personal growth. His book walked me through the steps of how to get out of my own damn way. I learned the art of mastering sales, how to play the game of business and win. I also learned how to hone in on my strengths and build my personal brand. And this right here was a game changer on how to stand out among all the marketing noise out there. How to Be a Success Champion Business Strategy for Badasses is a short, impactful read, only 152 pages. Now, you don't want to miss out. You can read this over the weekend. Head over to Amazon to grab your copy today. The link is www.bit.ly/beasuccesschampion to grab your copy. The champion within you awaits. Let it out, be bold, and start making the changes your business needs to grow today. Morning enthusiasts, welcome back to the show.
And today I want to talk to you about the principle of success. We are going through this series. We are up to number 16, principle of success. We are making our way through it, y'all. We have one more principle after this, and number 16 principle is called budget your time and money. So time and money are precious resources. We know this, and very few people I know who strive for success ever believe they possess either one of these in excess. You can never have too much time. You can never have too much money, right? But we only have 24 hours of the day, just like Bill Gates, just like Mark Zuckerberg, just like Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey. We all have one thing in common, not the same amount of money in the bank account, but we all have 24 hours in the day. Well, the difference is they are using it way different from the way we are. So stay tuned for today's podcast episode on how to better budget your time and money. Before we get into that, let's recap on why it's imperative to master these 17 principles of success so you can become like Warren Buffett and Oprah Winfrey and Mark Zuckerberg, to add value, to have a purposeful life like they do, but also get close to their bank account amount, right? All right, here's a recap of the benefit of mastering these 17 principles to success. Number one, peace of mind. Number two, freedom from fear and worry. Number three, a positive mental attitude. Number four, good health. Number five, you will have the choice to choose your work and how you add value to the world around you. Number six, you get to decide how much money you make. Sounds good to me. Now, as you can imagine, if you neglect to take possession of your mind, you will experience the opposite. Fear and worry constantly, indecisiveness, doubt, frustration, discouragement, ill health, poverty, jealousy, envy, hatred, and anger.
All right, here we go. So it is imperative to take the time every day to move closer to your purpose and saving money to ensure steady financial growth. You see, Napoleon Hill has a great quote that says, "Tell me how you use your time and how you spend your money, and I'll tell you where and what you will be in 10 years from now." Time and money are important aspects of success. It's important to take the time daily to understand your income and expenses in relation to your desired goals. Both precious resources need to fit into your current plan as well as your future plan. Let's say 10 years from now, we all have 24 hours in a day. This means time management is not necessarily about managing your time, but more so about managing your activities. I have come to realize that when I plan out or draw out a plan for my day and actually follow it, like I have checklists and to-do lists, I tend to have a very productive day. Every successful person that I know and I've spoken to on the podcast, they budget their time, their income, which are vital resources. So taking regular inventory of how we spend our time and money is a great tool to maximize and use them effectively. Remember, while money can be recovered, time, however, time spent is gone forever. You've heard me say it numerous times on the show. Time is our biggest asset. So let's get right into some tips on how to budget your time wisely. I have 9 here. Number 1, determine how you spend your time. There are a variety of ways to do it. Try keeping a log or journal for several days, or make a chart or graph illustrating how your time is spent. Be sure to keep track of everything that is taking up your time. Sleep, work, eating, chores, school, kids, soccer practice, business meeting, socializing, chats by the water cooler. Anything that you do that eats up away at your time, your biggest asset. Number 2, write down and prioritize your goals. Now that you know where your time is going, how would you like it to be spent? Mainly, what do you want to change about your current routine? For example, if you found yourself spending several hours responding to pointless emails, taking extra breaks, or waiting for things, make it a goal to rescue that wasted time. And for prioritizing your goals, it's really simple. This doesn't have to be incredibly detailed. Just rank your goals in the order in which you'd like to complete them. I have a list that I keep with me. I have a composition notebook, actually, black and white composition notebook that I keep with me where I jot my notes, content for the podcast, but I also write a to-do list of things that I want to do on a daily basis. And sometimes I don't make it through the whole list, but that's okay. Pleasure for me is checking it off. And so I know the next morning, the first things I need to work on is what was left from the list the day before. So that's prioritizing your goals. Number 3, realize that your time is valuable. Don't allow your schedule to fill up with things that don't get you closer to your goals or that don't make you really happy. If something seems like a waste of time, try to cut it short or get out of it. I at times try to get out of meetings or just hanging out with some people that don't add value into my day or value into my life in any way. So I cut those conversations short because I don't want to waste my time. It is my biggest asset. Number 4, learn to say no. Simple as that. Just N-O. No. Because don't feel guilt-tripped to doing something you don't want to do.
Job expectations aside, you shouldn't feel like you always have to agree to doing things. While simple requests might not seem like a big deal, they can pile up, leaving you overwhelmed and struggling to accomplish your actual goals. Learn to say no without feeling guilty. Don't feel like you have to explain yourself either or make excuses. Simply say that you can't do it because it doesn't work out for you. Just a big fat hell no. All right, so number 5, multitask smartly. I am going to be very careful here because I talk over and over on the podcast about how multitasking is the worst. We should not do it. And I have other entrepreneurs come on here and confirm this. But I want you to know there's smart ways to multitask if you have to. Let me give you the chores that you can do simultaneously. Stick to multitasking when it comes to thoughtless jobs like, here we go, doing the laundry. Yeah, you can put a load in the washer and walk away. You can put a load in the dryer and walk away and go make dinner. Go wash the dishes. Those things are mindless and those things you can do simultaneously. But don't try to write a memo while reading an article and talking on the phone. In other words, allow your mind to focus on one task at a time, preferably at a time of day when you work the best. Now, this is important because I have been looking into chronotypes and genotypes to actually assess when is the best time of day to be productive. And it varies for different people. There's a book on it actually called Chronotype that talks about the 4 different animals that you are. You're a lion, a bear, a dolphin, or you are a wolf, I believe it is. And I myself is considered a lion. I'm an early riser. I wake up hungry, but I wake up with a lot of energy. So that's why I enjoy working out super early in the morning because I have the energy to do so. But a good part of that schedule is, or being a lion, is that my best time to work is the morning time. So from 6 a.m. to about noon, I am my most productive. I get so much done. That's why I power through the interviews. I go to work and sometimes I'm done with my day-to-day job by like noon. And I'm like sitting around like it's I have another 4 hours, 5 hours. And I'm like, like, what do I do? But that's just the way I work. I time block and I know my most productive time is in the morning. So I schedule the most difficult task to do in the morning and then probably answer emails later or do mindless task later on during the day. So that's a whole different episode. And I'd be happy to come on here and talk about different chronotypes and identify which one you are and what's the best time for you to be productive, to work out, to eat, and the way you're wired and how to effectively use your time wisely. I can do a whole different episode on that, and I probably will. I'll break it down to 4 episodes because we're about to run out of this series, so I'm gonna need content, right? And this is gonna be a great one. So let's get back to how to effectively manage our time. Number 6, be prepared. Don't let meetings, appointments, or deadlines surprise you. If you're prepared and have planned them into your day, they'll be more beneficial. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? I'll say that again. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Meaning, if you're not prepared for that meeting, if you don't take the time to prepare for that speech, to prepare for that conversation, to prepare for whatever event or that's happening, if you're not prepared, you are not going to get the best out of that interaction. 1, and 2, you'll look like a fool. You won't know what to say. You'll stumble over your words. So it's always good before you encounter anybody else or any other meeting, just like jot down 3 bullet points of things you're gonna discuss so that it's more efficient. Cover your 3 points and you're done. Conversation over. So be prepared. It will save you a lot of time. Number 7, delegate or ask for help. This is big, because you may find that you have too many goals or tasks to accomplish. Try delegating some responsibilities to coworkers or to your family members. This will free up valuable time for you to work on other projects or give you extra free time. Now, getting help will also provide you with people that check in on you. This can help you stay focused on the work you're doing while they're accomplishing their assigned task. Once they accomplish their task, like I like to do with my interns, and I will say thank you and tell them how much they were able to help me get done because of their help. Now, I like to joke with my fiance about my interns because I like to tell my fiance, you know, truth is, my interns tell me what to do. Steve Jobs has a really good quote that says, I hire smart people not for me to tell them what to do, but so they can tell me what to do. So my interns, they keep me on my toes. There are certain tasks I must do before they can do their assignments. Like I have to edit an episode before they can create any promotional videos for that episode. They give me homework and then they ask for it. So I can't slack off. Keeps me focused so that I don't run off to the beach and catch the sunset like I tend to do on most evenings. So delegating can actually alleviate your workload, lighten up your workload, but also helps keep you accountable because you have people helping you and you have people that are checking in to ensure that you do your part so they can do their part. So it works on both ways. Number 8, remove distractions. Now, this is increasingly hard to do. If you find yourself having trouble completing tasks, try turning off your cell phone, signing out of all social media sites, turning off the television, and go someplace quiet. You'll find that being able to focus on one task may increase your efficiency. Clear a visual space for work. This may be your desk, your office, or a room in the house. Having a clutter-free space will keep you from being distracted. Number 9, reward yourself. My favorite. If you accomplish several goals or become more focused on your task, give yourself a small reward. These are considered small wins. So this could be something as simple as a small personal break in the day, like hanging out with friends or allowing yourself extra sleep in the morning. So I tend to drink a glass of kombucha with dinner. Non-alcoholic, of course, but hey, when I used to drink, it was a glass of red wine. I'm very big on celebrating the small wins as a way to remind the brain that we like victories and we should try to get more of them. For example, when I launched the podcast, I went to Chicago to celebrate. I hadn't been and wanted to visit. I simply wanted to see Chicago. My fiance and I flew out to Chicago to hang out for the weekend. When I reached 10 five-star ratings and reviews, I took myself out to dinner. I ate alone at a Mandarin restaurant where I had salt and pepper chicken wings and salt and pepper shrimp. Now, I was very satisfied, but it appears this is my to-go meal for celebrating my small wins. And now I associate salt and pepper chicken wings with a victory. Now, let's look at money. Here are 6 quick tips on how to budget your money wisely. But first, let me tell you about the 50-20-30 budget rule. Senator Elizabeth Warren popularized the so-called 50-20-30 budget rule in her book, All You're Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan. Good book, y'all. Pick it up. The basic rule is to divide up after tax income and allocated to spend 50% on needs, and needs are bills, rent, mortgage, gasoline for your car, food, insurance, and then 30% on wants. So we're talking about going out to eat, going out for drinks, alcohol, those Chanel pair of glasses, and then putting away 20% to savings. Now, that's the rule I follow when I started my budget. It's the 50-20-30. So 50% goes to my bills and my needs. 30% goes on the things that I want, like anything off of Amazon, pretty much. And 20% off savings. So stocks, bonds, saving accounts. What else? Maybe retirement plan, trading. You name it, anything that is savings for rainy day. So let's talk about the 6 quick tips on how to budget your money wisely. Number 1, track your spending patterns over a period of 1 month. To create a successful budgeting habit, it is important to first find out what you are spending your hard-earned money on. This can be done by tracking your expenses over the course of a month. Take the time to write down everything which you spend your money on during that month. After that, identify the main targets of your spending activities. These can become the element in your budget. Example of these elements can be food, leisure, entertainment, subscriptions, snacks, clothing, utilities, education, and gifts. After that, you can assign various amounts of money to each element slash category for the next month. Number two is establish a budget before the beginning of each month. To master the art of budgeting, you have to create your budget before the month begins. By doing this, you already know how you intend to manage your money throughout the month, right? This will keep you aware of the flow of money in your life. And to add to that, the thing I like to do is for your monthly budget is to actually calculate your spending at the end of each month to show your actual, how much money you spent. You set the budget in the beginning of the month, and at the end of the month, you apply the number against the budget. See if you went over or if you underspent. Make sure that you net out at the end of the month to ensure that the money is going to where you have initially budgeted or allocated to go. Number three, do not overspend on irrelevant things. The main point of a budget is to make sure that you do not spend too much money on irrational, irrelevant activities or in items, or you are an emotional spender. There are temptations at every corner, right? Those infomercials at 2, 3 a.m. When you have some money, you feel as though you want to spend it on literally every item you see. Jim Rohn said one time, and it cracked me up. He said, "We used to be able to stop spending when we ran out of money, but these days we just whistle past zero." And so essentially he's saying, in this age of credit cards, it is possible to spend every last coin you have on things which you do not need. So as you allocate some money to the various expenses in your life, do not allocate too much to leisure spending. Direct the bulk of your cash to important expenses such as utility bills, education, food, home maintenance, as well as your saving. Number four, create a foolproof savings system. One of the ways to become financially responsible is to set up a savings system. This is one where a percentage of your income is directed to your savings account automatically. By setting up such a system, you reduce the risk of mismanaging your money and ending up with no savings at all. To accomplish this, simply set up your financial streams such that a percentage of your total income is directed to a savings account before it reaches your checking account. This saves you from yourself by creating a financial safety net before you even touch a coin of your money. Also, I would suggest doing the same for gift giving, tithing, donations of some sort, helping somebody out. As I mentioned before, I know my fiance allocates about $100 a month where he buys McDonald's gift cards and we give them out to homeless individuals around San Diego. That's gift giving, that's tithing. So allocate that spending so that it comes out automatically too, so that you're giving your 10%, because if you help enough people get what they want, you will get what you want. We are in the business of helping people. We are in the business of helping each other. So if we want to add value, that's one way to do it, is using our monetary resources. Number five, identify your most ideal method of daily budgeting. Today, we have access to various media which we can utilize to create a budgeting tool. We can use the traditional pen and ledger if we want. We can also use budgeting software and apps in our computer and our smartphones to budget our money better, so as to create a budget for your daily, weekly, or monthly expenses. Number six, establish elements to assist you to build your wealth. There are some financial vehicles which you can utilize to assist you in the process of building wealth. Example of these are retirement funds, stocks, bonds, college funds, or house funds. These are elements in which you can store some money every month to get you closer to your goals of wealth. This will help you to create a way out of the financial rat race and eventually enjoy wealth. Another way to build wealth is to decrease your bills by calling lenders and asking for lower interest rates, APRs, on credit cards, loans, and so forth. This will help you keep more of your money. I am still praying that my student loan debt will wipe away one day, just poof, gone. But until then, I utilize the aforementioned methods to tackle it. Y'all, time freedom and financial freedom is my goal. What is your goal? That's all for today's episode, y'all. It's been a blessing. It's been a joy. I love you guys. I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever. Stay blessed.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.